that will be brought to bear on the lesson. We are going to be asking if one of the men will to read the text for us again.
No, the just shall live by faith.
The just shall live by faith.
But if any man draw back.
But if any man draw back.
My soul have no pleasure in him.
My soul will have no pleasure in him.
But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition.
The writer said, we are not of them who draw back into perdition,
but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
But we believe to the saving of our soul. Jesus Christ has no pleasure in the backslider. Any of us can backslide. Even when we, like Peter, swear that we will never. In fact, one of our danger can be overconfidence. Because overconfidence can make us not put the trust and dependence that we are to put in Jesus Christ. Backsliding is deceptive. The Bible would say deceitful, which means it is something that can fool any one of us. There are many men and women who have backslidden and still swear that they are in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Did everybody hear that? We are looking on the fact that backsliding, that's what the Bible calls draw back. I'm going to let the brother read the passage again. You see, when the writer in Hebrew talk about drawing back, it was talking about backsliding. What I'm saying, backsliding is deceptive. There might be many of us here today that are in the process of drifting away from Jesus Christ, and we do not even know it. That's how deceptive it is. There are men and women who have backslidden. In other words, their relationship with the Almighty God through Jesus Christ has been severed, and they do not know it. So this lesson is about helping us to be careful and to be alert. Let us hear the passage again.
No, the just shall live by faith.
The just shall live by faith.
But if any man draw back.
May I? Any man is added by the translator. That phrase is not in the original text. The passage is not so much about any man, but the same just person that it has just mentioned. That's right. And that is The just man who was once justified by faith, if that person reached the point where he or she gets tired of Christ, Christianity, and the church, and draw back, backslide, that's the person under consideration. It's not any man. It's the person who was once enlightened by Christ and the gospel. That's the person in context and in consideration in verse 38. Let us hear it again.
Now the just shall live by faith.
The just shall live by faith.
But if any man draw back.
That's right. Remember, it's not about any man. But if the same just man, having been justified, went on for some time in Christ, in Christianity, in the church, if that person does what?
Any draw back.
Draw back.
My soul shall have no pleasure in
God
him.
God says his soul have no pleasure in the person who backslides. Have you backslidden? As God said, it is deceptive. Not only that, with the passage, because I may go on and don't point this out. You notice in verse 39. Read.
But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Notice that the writer passes on from what is threatening drawing back, backsliding. He passes on from that to what is encouraging those who believe unto their salvation. In other words, those who believe and will continue to believe until the end. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38-39, which has just been read, we have here being expressed God's view toward the backsliders. But in chapter 6, verse 4, it tells a backslider, but this time it's not just so much God's view, but the potential danger of the backslider. Brother Mitchell, repeat that, I didn't get it. In chapter 10, 38 and 39, which we have just read, the inspired writer is expressing God's view toward the backslider. But in chapter, same Hebrews, chapter 6 and verse 4, we are here being informed of the terrible potential danger that the backslider face. Let us hear that passage.
For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance.
Did it use the word impossible?
Yes.
That's a strong word. That is a strong word. But you notice what I notice? Notice the many blessings that we come in contact with when we become Christian. Notice it. Read again.
For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened...
Wait, when we accept Jesus Christ, we become enlightened people. And that is a fact. Does it mean, Brother Mitchell, we are modern? Whatever you may mean by modern, enlightened here mean our eyes are open to what is right from what is wrong. Our eyes are open to see the path we are traveling and where it will take us, as against the ungodly men and women who are traveling down the road to eternity and do not know where they are going to end up. So when we became Christian, watch here, we are enlightened. Read on, brother.
And have tasted of the heavenly gift.
When we became Christian, we tasted of the heavenly gift. Read on, brother.
And were made partakers.
When we became Christian, we became partakers of the, Holy Ghost. Read on, brother.
And have tasted the good word of God.
And we have tasted the good word of God, which so many of us take for granted. The good word of God. I think it was a church in Thessalonians that Paul says, give thanks that when they got the word of God, they did not treat it like the word of man. We must check the word of God. And we must let the word of God fill in us richly. In fact, the lesson today will be helping you to understand some of the things that lead to backsliding little by little, and things that protect against backsliding. And one of those things that protect against backsliding is knowledge of God and His will. But we'll get to that. We are going to get to passage which the Almighty God is going to be telling the Israelites that knowledge of Him is more important than the most expensive sacrifice that they give. Knowledge of God. But yes, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. So here we are told of the potential danger that a man or a woman, once we start the slippery slope of backsliding. How is that started, Brother Mitchell? We can remain stagnant. We are not growing. We are not making progress. And a lot of times we do not even recognize that that is not good. Isn't it Peter said that you must add to faith? And then he lists and he said, if these things are in you and abound, the word abound means grow. It makes you that, you have the passage somewhere there, brother. It makes you that you are neither unfruitful It's the first chapter, and from around verse 1 Peter 1. Let us hear it. I didn't intend to read it, but since it's brought up and it is such an important passage, read.
For if these things be in you and abound.
No, you're reading, I think, the last. I want you to start with Peter.
Okay. And besides this.
Giving.
All diligence.
All diligence. It's not something for Christians to take lightly, giving all diligence.
adds to your faith.
Add! Don't be satisfied with just believing in God. The devil believe and tremble. We are expected to make progress. In fact, the Christian is the most progressive person around. And our progress is toward a better Christ-like character. So the Bible says, the Holy Spirit through the writer says, and add to your faith
virtue.
Virtue.
And to virtue, knowledge.
Add. Remember, you don't just do one adding. To virtue,
knowledge.
Knowledge.
And
virtue include the courage to live your faith. That's right. And to virtue, knowledge. You see, knowledge, you can't ever leave that out. Knowledge.
And to knowledge, temperance.
And to knowledge, self-control. Read on.
And to temperance, patience.
Patience. I'm going to come in today where Jesus Christ in the book of Luke 21 going to show that patience is necessary if you are going to continue to the end. Huh? Wait. You know, the Bible encourages us that in continuing with Jesus Christ, I think there is a part which tells us, are you listening, that we must be faithful unto UNTO, unto death. But there's another passage, I think, if my memory serves right, said, don't use the word unto. Until. Those two words are not saying the same thing. This one is saying, if you have to live up to your conviction where it brings death to you, Christ expects you to live up to your conviction. This one says, is telling you, continue up until you die. Continue faithful. You all get it? Continue. Stay with Jesus Christ, Christianity, until Christ calls you home to eternity. So, the point from the passage, let us hear it, brother.
And to patience.
And patience.
Godliness.
Godliness.
And to godliness, brotherly kindness.
And to godliness, brotherly kindness.
And to brotherly
kindness. Wait. Do you notice the progression here? You notice the development. You notice the growth. You notice the stepping forward. All of these steps are making us into more Christ-like character. That is the aim of Christianity and the church. Now, notice this too. You see, once we are making progress, it's going to be difficult for us to backslide. Read on.
And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these
things,
be in you,
but he didn't stop there. You must watch this. And
abound.
The word abound means to grow. You get the point? That's what the word abound means, to grow. If these things be in you, what things? The things he has just listed that we must add. If these be in you and grow,
they make that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful.
That's it.
In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
You see here again, knowledge. Are we there? Look at Luke 21:19.
In your in your patience possessed ye your souls.
Simple statement, but it is loaded. Jesus Christ was saying to us that it is through patience we are going to preserve our soul. What does it mean? It is true, you and I going through all the struggles of life. All the problems that may come with our Christianity. It is true that we are ultimately going to be saved. But if we do not have patience, it's going to be easy for us to backslide. You know why? Because so many temptations, so many trials, Satan will send them our way and make us want to blame Christ, Christianity, and the church for them. Read it again, brother.
In your patience, possess ye your souls.
It is through patience that we are going to possess or preserve or keep our soul. We want to examine some of the things which may determine whether you or I continue faithful or ultimately backslide, which the Bible calls draw back. The first thing I want to point out, which play an important part in whether we continue. Wait, just when? I think it was Thursday in the day Brother Smith and myself were here in a discussion talking. And Brother Smith is in the audience, so if I'm lying, he knows. He was pointing out members who have not. He can look across and see members that for the past many weeks, they are not here. And he's quite concerned, and rightly so. Because one of the symptoms, did I say symptoms? Of backsliding is our attitude towards worship. Very few things tell as much about our spiritual state as our attitude towards giving God His due. Because that's what worship is about, you know. Recognizing Jesus' right over all the blessings He blessed me with, and my willingness and gladness to give back to Him His due. When I find reason to withhold from Jesus Christ times of worship that I should give gladly, it indicates that something is wrong with my relationship with Him. So, the first thing I want to mention today that play an important part in whether we backslide or continue faithful is our faith in God and what God says. That's right. Our faith in God, that is, we believe that He is and exists, and we believe in His revelation. This was one of Israel's primary downfall. Their lack of genuine faith in the Almighty God and what He says. Brother Mitchell, what did you say? One of Israel's downfall or shortcoming was lack of genuine faith in God and what the Almighty God says. They were therefore easily misdirected. Why, Brother Mitchell? Lack of genuine faith in God and what He said. They were therefore not only easily misdirected, they were easily influenced. They were easily misfocused. They were easily influenced by falsehood, religious falsehood. Israel could as easily swap one God for another. That's right. They find it easy. They go among the Gentiles, where there were multiplicity of God, and they could easily forget the great Jehovah that divided the Red Sea for their father. They could easily bow down to other God. And somebody said, Brother Mitchell, that will never happen to me. You're surprised how many of you. You see, we are faced with the same pain, only it comes with a different clothes on it, so it will look the same. Huh? Let us read some passages first. As I've said, because of lack of faith in God and God's word, they were easily misdirected. They were easily influenced, easily misfocused, easily influenced by religious falsehood. Look at 2 Kings, verse 17. Well, chapter 17, verse 12 to verse 16. Let us hear it.
For they serve idols.
2 Kings. The brother is reading from 2 Kings. Chapter 17, verse 12 to verse 16.
For they serve idols.
For the Almighty God is not here talking about Gentiles. He's talking about people, His people, whom He led from Egypt and showed His power to them in so many ways. Yet Israel found it easy to swap God. Israel could easily make up their own God and bow down and worship it as they worship Jehovah. Read.
But they serve idols.
That's what the Bible calls idolatry.
Whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing.
They shall not do it. Not only that they did it, it was so easy. Read.
Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers.
The prophets were saying, show them the error of their ways. But that was not of any help. What are we talking about? Backsliding. Let us be careful. Let us watch our step. Let us not take the first step in backsliding lightly. Read on, brother.
The prophet and the seer say, turn ye from your evil ways,
mm-hmm,
and keep my commandments,
mm-hmm,
and my statutes,
mm-hmm,
according to all the law which I commanded your fathers,
mm-hmm,
and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets.
Uh-huh.
Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like the necks of their fathers.
Read.
Their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. Did not believe in the Lord their God.
Brother Mitchell, how could Israel not believe? They saw the power of God, or at least were told by their fathers what God did for Israel. May I? Notice here how the word not believe is used. Because if we don't understand how it is used, we may, Pat was it, The word not believe here doesn't mean they did not necessarily believe that God exists. They believe in the existence of God. It's just that they took God so lightly when he says anything. And his existence was not anything greater than the idol that they were so quick to make and worship. Well, when the Bible talks about unbelief, we must be careful that we do not always think it means they did not believe in the existence of God. In many cases, they believe that God existed. But that, for them, it's like, God, you mind your own business. If you exist somewhere, mind your own business and we will mind ours. We have to be careful that we do not bring God down to that size. Read, brother.
And they rejected his statutes.
They rejected his statutes.
And his covenant that he made with their fathers.
And his covenant that he made with their fathers. What and verse is that?
15.
Read.
Covenant he made with their fathers and his testimonies, which he testified against them.
Mm-hmm.
And they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen that were round about them.
Mm-hmm. Wait. You see, the example you and I take is of utmost importance in whether we backslide or whether we remain faithful. Where do we look to for example? The world or the church? Where did they look for example?
The heathen that were round about them.
Uh-huh.
Concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God.
Uh-huh.
And made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove.
You all hear that? They made calves. Read.
And made a grove. And worship all the hosts of heaven. And
worship all the hosts of heaven.
And serve Baal.
And serve Baal. Further on, I'm going to show today that we have many Baals today in the world. That's right. Further on, I'll show that as easy as it was for Israel to worship the idols of their times, men and women who have been exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ can easily swap one church for the other. For many people, it doesn't make any difference. As long as they have been in the church, they cannot see the difference. Just like Israel, as long as Israel have been with God and been told of God's power and demonstration among them, it was quite easy for Israel to make up calves and other things and worship it and told themselves that this is our God. Backsliding. Look at Romans. In fact, look at John 5:38. We are still on the fact that our faith in God and what he says play a very important part. John 5:38, Romans 10:16-17. Read.
And ye have not his word abiding in you.
You do not have his word abiding in you.
For whom he hath sent.
Wait. That makes a lot of difference. When God's word dwell in us richly, when God's word, not what I think it is, what I imagine it is, not what I dream, but God's revealed word, when it dwells in us richly, it becomes easy for us to correct our bad words. But when we are the truth, not because it has not been taught to us, but because we have not taken it seriously, to put it to memory. What have you just read, dear brother, in the book of St. John?
And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not.
That's right. Lack of faith. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 16 and 17.
But they have not all obeyed the gospel.
Uh-huh.
For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report?
Here again is the business of belief. Very important. The people that Isaiah preached to the Israelites, they would claim to listen, but what was preached went in one ear and went out to the other. So continue with Isaiah, brother.
So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Who believe our report? Our faith in God and what God says play very important part in whether we can, not just remain, but continue faithful, or whether we backslide. Watch that you do not backslide and don't even recognize it. That's one of the great danger. That's one of the deceitfulness of backsliding. Secondly, our conviction and our zeal play very important role in whether we remain faithful or whether we backslide. What did you say, Brother Mitchell? Our conviction and our zeal. When the Bible says, be not weary in well doing, it's something to be taken seriously or not. You know why? Christian easy to get tired. I noticed that. Christian easy to get tired. And probably that's why God knows us more than we know ourselves. So when the Bible asks that we do not weary in well doing, what it meant, you know, is that don't get tired quick when you are doing what is right. That's a good advice. That's heaven's advice. For us to continue with the Almighty God down the future, we need conviction. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? We need to, one, first to have something between us and the Almighty God. That I do not relate to God on a second-hand basis. But there is something personal between me and God. You must have that. And that must build conviction in the truth that is taught and preached and shared with you. Zeal. Also, work in your best interest in helping you to remain faithful. Watch here. Not convicted. Not having. May I? Muhammad just passed. Eh? He was truly a great, not just fighter, but not many people can hold to their conviction and see millions of dollars lost from their pocket. Huh? They are threatened by imprisonment, eh? And they are further disliked by so many people in the nation because he decided that he didn't believe in the Vietnam War, as so many Americans at that time did. And he was willing, in the prime of his fighting skill, he was willing to lose all that millions of dollars he was willing to go to jail, that is conviction. That's conviction. We need to believe what we believe strongly. We need first to make sure we believe it on solid ground. That's the first thing. That's why we study the Bible at home. That's why we come to Bible study. That's why when we have problem with anything we don't understand, we speak to other brother or sister that we feel understand better than we do. Because we want to learn. And we want to make sure that our faith is built on solid ground. When the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15, and be ready at all times to give an answer to every man who asks you a reason that concerning the faith that is in you. The Bible is saying you must know what you believe and why you believe it. Conviction. We need that if we are going to continue with Christ. When you do not have conviction, notice here what result. Lack of conviction and zeal leads to, are you there? One, lukewarmness. And lukewarmness lead to secular and material influence. When you become spiritually lukewarm, other things tend to take the place of your spirituality. And it's usually something in the world that's going to absorb you. And then, finally, you give up on your spiritual life through loss of spiritual interest. So you backslide. Because there was no conviction, no zeal in your Christianity. Look. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 15 through 17. Revelation chapter 3. Let us hear it.
So then. Because thou art lukewarm. And I know that
works. Reading from Revelation chapter 3. He's going to be reading from verse 15 through 17. Wait, Brother Webb. Remember what I've said. That our conviction and zeal play very important part. In fact, what we have seen throughout history, when you study history, you find men and women who were great achievers simply because of their conviction. That's right. Don't let me begin to name and get off my lesson. For umpteen years, a small country like Cuba, a poverty-stricken country, could resist the United States, the most powerful country on earth, stand up to it because of the conviction of Fidel Castro. I'm not talking about the rightness of or wrongness of his politics, because I don't believe in his politics. I don't believe any one person have the right to be dictator without giving opportunity for others to express themselves freely, etc. I don't believe in that. In other words, I don't believe in totalitarian concept or totalitarian philosophy of communism. Not only that, communism is in contradiction with the production of wealth, because it stifles human reward motive. When the state can take away from me what I've worked so hard for, then it makes me not want to work hard, because I'll always be afraid that the state will take it away and control. So there are many things I could just go on talking about. But the fact is that because of this man's conviction, he could stand up to powerful U.S. throughout all his life. And we can just go on. Hitler, that has done so much evil in Germany, was because he was convicted over the superiority of his race in comparison to other people. He believed it. He was wrong, but he believed it. Conviction. May I? You are in danger if you are in conflict with a person who has stronger conviction about what they are going about than you. Anything it is, if that man or woman has a stronger conviction, you be careful. The person might be wrong, you know, but the person is convicted. The person has deep down belief in what he or she is doing. You are no match for that man or woman. John R. Flowers, I know I relate it already, but I want to hear it again. When John R. Flowers, when he relate that lesson or that story, John R. Flowers was 70 odd. And he said he never forget when he was going to school in his 14, 15, 16 year old. This so-called Church of God fellow on the school campus. He said that little fellow would challenge anybody, because he believed what he believed. And he left an impression on Janar's mind because of his conviction. For many of us, that's what we lack. We just pull ourselves to church, and it would be as easy like the Israelites who quickly make up them God and worship it. It would be as easy for us to go any church. We don't care what they teach and what they practice. We need conviction that helps us to remain faithful. You didn't finish reading Revelation, you know, brother. Or is me stop you?
I know thy works.
I know thy works.
That thou art neither cold nor hot.
God no like that at all. God wants men with that. Wait. May I? Why do you think that from an early age the Almighty God was guiding David? Are we all there? Are we all there? Why do you think from an early age God was guiding David? God saw in the man conviction. Why is it that with all of Peter's failure, Jesus Christ chose to give him the keys of the kingdom? Peter, who denied Christ with some choice Rasta language, yes. Peter, who was willing so quickly to drop his sword to chop off the high priest servant. Yes, all of that is part of the man's conviction. Why do you think Jesus Christ chose him among the other 12? Here is the man that when he comes to believing something on solid ground, you can depend on him. You can put your pot on the fire. Should I go on to Paul? Oh my God, he personifies conviction. And the Almighty God felt, if I could ever get this man on my side, and what a good choice the Almighty God made. You will notice the people God used. Joshua, I can just go back and name them. The men and women God used were always men and women with conviction. They are the one who accomplished the greatest things for the Almighty God. Saul was easily swept away. Just easily swept away because he didn't have the conviction that the then age called for. David, a man after God's own heart. You needn't finish, you know, brother. Stop you again.
So then. Neither cold nor hot.
Because you are neither cold nor hot.
I would the word cold or hot.
God say, I wish you just cold, that everybody know you are cold. I get hot. Have some belief, conviction about what you claim you are about. Read.
So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth.
Watch here now. Read on.
Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable.
That's the terrible thing, brothers and sisters. May I? That's the terrible thing. Do you know that we can lose our sense of what is valuable and important? That's part of the lack of conviction with the church of Laodicea. Yeah, that's part of it. They have backslidden so far, and they have drifted so far, and they lack so much conviction that they lost their sense of what was valuable and important. They were putting the value on material things. As a church of Christ, they should realize that real value is in close relationship with God. Not how materially rich the church was or thought it was. They have lost that sense. We have lost that sense. In fact, time, brother. May I? We must pick up on this lesson because there are two other important things that the lesson is incomplete without my sharing this with you. We have looked on the part that our faith in God and what God says play in whether we continue faithful or backslide. We have looked on the part that conviction and zeal play in whether we continue with God or backslide. We have just been examining some of the great men and women God has used. And you will notice that accomplished great things, they were always men and women with conviction and zeal. We have not yet taught one of what I consider a very important aspect of the lesson, where the Almighty God said through one of his prophets that knowledge of God was more important than the sacrifice that they burned to God. Knowledge of God. We won't look on that today. But I'm just pointing out some of what is in store. And what we are going to do, make the connection, the Bible going to make the connection that it was this lack of knowledge of God in the generation that followed Joshua that made it so easy for them to turn to idolatry because they lack knowledge of God. And God says that knowledge is more important than your sacrifice. We will be looking at that, and we'll be looking on the fact that a life of worship is one of the key that preserve our relationship with God. A worship life. So we ask that you don't miss the rest of the lesson. May I? In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3, listen this carefully, we're not preaching it, I'm just giving you a tease. It says, Samuel did not yet know Jehovah. In the same book of Samuel, chapter 2, verse 12, it says that the sons of Eli did not know the Lord. Those two not know the Lord do not carry the same meaning. When we come back next week, we'll look at them if God is willing. Today you have heard enough that to remain faithful with God until death, we need to have faith not just in the existence of God, but in the Word of God. To continue faithful with Jesus Christ until death, we need also to have conviction and zeal in our spiritual life. Are you a backslider? Are you a backslider and don't know it? Let us encourage you to think of your relationship with God and to think of ways that you can make sure that you are growing instead of remaining stagnant. Because once you remain stagnant at one stage, Satan likes that. He finds it easy for you to take retrograde steps backward. And ultimately you backslide and don't even know it. But God does not want you to backslide. That's why the Bible, the passage that was read, says God has no pleasure in them that draw back. Let's talk about backsliders. If you are here today and you feel that you're a child of God who are backsliding, drifting away from Christ, there is no better time than now to come and recommit your life to Jesus Christ. No better time than now. As we stand and sing. If you are here